He can take what's wrong and make it right. And there was a whole lot of wrong right here. Don't laugh. You were too. In fact, he ain't through working on this yet. I kind of got a feeling he probably ain't ever going to get through working on all this. Because you see, in spite of what you may think, I'm not perfect. Where's Glenda? She just said amen, I'm sure. But you know, I pick on that old gal quite a bit. But she deserves it. I love her. She knows I love her, or I'd have killed her a long time ago. The one thing that worries me about Glenda. Now, I'm being honest. The one thing that worries me about her is there's no filter between here and here. And that worries me. You know what I'm saying there, Reggie? I don't have a sermon to preach, but I have a word of encouragement for us. You see, I ran into a boy named Kenny Shepherd today over at the Firefighters Credit Union. And Kenny was a rounder. Anybody here know Kenny Shepherd? Yeah. Yeah, come on, testify back there. That means I got to tell the truth. Anyway, Kenny had a rough life. Went through a whole lot. Probably pound for pound, one of the toughest men I ever knew. And I know very few people that have had as much turmoil and tragedies in their life as Kenny did. Lost his parents. Little 2-year-old girl fell, hit the corner of a coffee table, knocked her eye out. Son killed in a car wreck. On the lake, drunk, inner tubing, guys having fun, going to see how close they can get to some cypress trees to scare him. Well, they got a little too close, broke him all to pieces. In a fight down on the riverfront one night, Kenny will kind of remind you of Rocky Balboa. They were beating on him with them nightsticks, and police officers were, and he was trying to block them. He said they started hurting. But God. 25 years I witnessed Kenny Shepherd. His little wife went to a church one Sunday morning up in Oil City. Was miraculously saved, filled with the Spirit of God. Got home, told Kenny about it. He didn't go. He got mad, grabbed him a 6-pack of beer, got in his truck, started down to Curtis Green's house. Mad at God because his wife was so happy. And he cried out to God. He said, God, why can't I ever experience you like other people say they do? And Kenny's testimony is he heard God speak to him. He said, because you've never accepted the work of my son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary. He pulled over on the side of the road because he was weeping so hard he couldn't see to drive. He surrendered his life to the Lord right there on the side of the road. Now he's a retired fireman like me and others here. But guess what? Kenny's an ordained preacher. He's a missionary. Now, with all that said, when I ran into him today at the Firefighters Credit Union, we had church in the parking lot. I think the people inside probably thought we was fighting, but we was whooping on the devil. I'd share with him a while, and he'd share with me a while. And we began to talk about the body of Christ and the dispensation of time in which we live and the attacks and the bombardments that come our way through life and through the devil, some circumstances that we create ourselves and the problems and the pressures and the trials that we have. And Kenny quoted the verse, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but there's that word. What does that word mean? Those of you who have been coming out here for a while, you ought to know. It means what's about to be said is more important than what was just said. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but pay attention. Here's what's important. The Lord delivers from them all. We've not been called to be bystanders. We've been called to be warriors. We've been called to be the light of the world. And we can't be a light if we're so sad sack, brow beaten down, intimidated that we're running and hiding from what God's called us to do because of the threats of a Goliath in our life. And it's time that the church encourage one another and reminds one another what God's Word has to say about each of us who know Jesus as our personal Savior. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you're on your own. I'm not being rude or ugly or trying to be funny in that, but I want you to know that the only prayer that God is covenanted to hear of a sinner is a prayer of repentance. That's the only prayer that he is duty bound to listen to and to respond to. Now, he may in his graciousness respond to other prayers to the lost person, but that's the only one that his word covenants him to, contracts him to, binds him to respond to. But for those of us that are his children, that we've been adopted into the family, that we're joint heirs with Jesus, we're sons and daughters of the Most High, that's not the case. We have audience with him. We can come boldly before the throne of grace in our hour of need and obtain mercy and help from the Lord. I'd like to read a passage of scripture from Mark chapter 4, verse 35, a very simple passage. And as soon as I begin reading it, those of you that don't have a Bible, you're going to recognize it. You're going to know the story. You're going to know what my points are. They're not my points. They're the Lord's points. Because actually, I had prepared on the other page to preach this. These are the way my sermon notes always are. Point one, two, three, four, and five. And I trust God to fill in the in-between stuff. I just make a point one in verse three that they had a heart for the needy to keep me from chasing rabbits. But I trust God to fill in the blanks. But anyway, he doesn't want that preached tonight. Put that over here in the back. Mark 4, verse 35. Now, in The first part of chapter 4, the Lord is busy teaching his disciples and others through various parables, little short mini sermons that were applicable to that dispensation of time and that day and age. He used examples and analogies that they could understand. Much like if Bill Miller were to get up here tonight and begin to talk all that computer lingo, a lot of you young ones would understand what he was talking about, and all of us gray hairs, we wouldn't have a clue. But that's the way Jesus was. He was talking in words and terms and about topics and subjects that to get a point across so that the people could understand. And then we pick him up in verse 35 where it says, on the same day when evening had come, they said to him, or he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats. Now I want you to notice, I've read this passage of Scripture a whole bunch of times, and I've never picked up on that, all them other little boats. And the other little boats were also with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said unto him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? But he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them who? His disciples. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? King James translates that, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? There are several points that we could glean and draw from this passage of Scripture tonight. But here's the one thing that I want to get across. No matter what storm you may find yourself in, maybe it's a storm involving health, maybe it's a storm involving finances or relationship, maybe it's emotional wounds and scars from years gone by of where you were molested or sexually abused as a child. Regardless of what the storm is that you find yourself in and the baggage that you find yourself dragging around, the weight that you're trying to carry through life, regardless of what it may be, and you may be like the disciples where the water's filling up the boat and they think they're sinking. They think they're going down. They can't quite grasp that in the middle of that tough situation that Jesus is asleep. It doesn't equate. Because they said, Teacher, Master, Jesus, don't you even care that we're perishing? Any of you ever felt like that? I have. You know, we see David in the 23rd Psalm, which I preached a few weeks ago, about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes through this whole litany of things that pretty well address every issue of life and even death. Just such a confidence, such a peace, such a strength. But then we find him again over there, and I think it's chapter 55 or 56, somewhere along in there. This same David, one of two men referred to as a man after God's own heart, he's crying out to God, and I'm going to paraphrase this. You go read it for yourself. But he was basically saying, Where are you? My prayers aren't going through the ceiling. Don't you hear anything that I'm saying? Why have you turned a deaf ear unto me? Why are you not letting me know that you're at least aware of my circumstance and my situation? Now, in David's situation, It's because he had allowed sin into his life. There had been a Bathsheba moment. And that sin had separated that relationship that he had with God. And God was wanting him to get back close and to repent and to open that heart. Maybe tonight your ship's sinking, possibly because of sins in your life, possibly because you've distanced yourself from God, and possibly because you don't feel that closeness and that strength and that power that he brings. Because you see, when Jesus, in the middle of this storm, said, "Peace, be still," the winds and the waves, they listened to what he said. The winds ceased. The waters stilled. And he's still the peace speaker. He can still speak peace into whatever your circumstance may be. But you need to be like the disciples in this story, in that they went to him in the stern of the ship. "Master, you better acknowledge who you're approaching. You're not approaching some chump. You're approaching Master, Jesus, God in the flesh. You better approach him with a reverence and a respect and bow your knee and open your heart and your mouth. Cry out to him and watch him begin to work and do things in your life and in your circumstance and in your situation. But I want you to know, child of God, if you'll do that, regardless of the storm, it's going to be all right. He's going to speak peace as you draw near to him. What does the Bible say? What does God's word say when he says, "You draw nigh unto me," and what? "I'll draw nigh unto you." It says, "Call unto the Lord, and he'll show you great and mighty things." If you call on him, he'll show you great and mighty things. Deidre, can I put you on the spot? Come here, baby. Can I have a mic, Josh? Pick one. Come on up here, girl. This is Deidre.
Hey, y'all.
Now hold that right about there where they can hear you.
Okay.
Deidre's first time here was last week. She sat right there. Tell these people what happened.
I got saved.
Share with them what you shared with me.
I'd asked the Lord to just forgive me of my sins and wash me clean, and I felt so warm and tingly all over my body, and it was the best feeling in the world. I've never had that feeling ever in my life.
You're just telling how much you love God, like you told me.
Oh, there's no other. There's no greater love.
Woo, come on. You preaching. You're doing good now.
He's everything to me. And stuff that has happened to me in my life, I just gave it all up to God. And I said, I'm done. Here I am. I give it up.
Did he bring peace into your life?
He sure did.
You felt it?
I do.
And your life's been different all week?
All week.
Tell them what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Friday.
Oh, yeah. Friday, my car got towed. And I called him, and I asked him, "Is that the devil, you know, trying to get in my way and discourage me? Is that the devil?"
What she said is, "Does the devil work like this?"
Yeah. I mean, I ain't gonna tow my car. And he said, just like the Lord, the devil can work in mysterious ways too. And I just have to keep my faith strong and keep my faith and my heart in love with the Lord.
See, the truth of the matter is this, and I told her this. The Word of God says that the thief or the devil comes immediately to try to steal and kill and take away from you what the Lord has begun in her life. That's the way the devil works. See, he's not going to give Deidre or Dennis or Carla or anybody in here, put your name in the block, not going to give up easily on any of us, okay? That's why the Word tells us to fight the good fight of faith. It's time we go to throwing some punches, spiritual punches. And we got to learn what our weapons are. We've got to learn how to fight, not just with the Word, but in the might and the Spirit and the power of God. We got to invoke His Word. We got to plead the blood of Jesus over the doorpost of our home for protection and safety. We've got to be filled with His Spirit. We got to have a mouthful of praise, and we got to begin to fight the fight. But even though your car got towed Monday, can I share about Todd?
You can.
Okay. He won't beat me up.
No.
Okay.
No, sir.
Her fiance, kind of been down, needing a job. We prayed. He got a job, but he needed to go. What is that? He needed to go get a block off of his driver's license. So we helped him with that. He goes down, gets the block off of his driver's license. He's got his license. He had a job to start Monday. Well, because of that unpaid ticket and stuff, there was a warrant out for his arrest. He paid his ticket and got put in jail. They transferred him. He'll do about 30 days over in Panola County. And I'm saying all of this because I want you to understand this message tonight. She began a journey with the Lord 1 week ago. In the early part of the week, she saw nothing but devastation. One thing after another. But she also began to see God work. In multiple ways. And I had her, this was not planned. I saw her sitting back there tonight, and I wanted her to come down here so that you could hear from her what happens in these seats when people reach out and touch the Lord. They get touched by Him. Their lives get changed.
And it's automatically right then and there.
I couldn't have said it no better myself. It's automatically right then and there. So I want to just encourage you with this tonight. If you got a serious need in your life, there's devastation going on, you need peace in your life right now. Don't wait on any music. Don't wait on anything. I want you to get out of your seat and come to these altars right now. I want to pray for you. You need the peace of God to come in, and you're a child of God. Get up and get down here. Thank you, DJ.